that God didn't just leave us. He didn't say, fine, choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm out of here. Peace out. You guys are on your own. Have fun with death and decay and evil and wickedness. Have fun with all that stuff. No, he didn't do that. Because the truth is, God is bringing evil to a righteous end through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you know there's a lot going on in our world right now? There's nothing new under the sun. With the things that have happened over the past just handful of weeks, with the death of Irina Zarutska from Ukraine on the bus when she was murdered, from the assassination of Charlie Kirk, from the shooting at Evergreen High School, from the shooting at Annunciation Catholic School, to all the things that we deal with on a regular basis, from abortion to marriage issues to cultural issues to political issues to wars going on around the world, it's very easy to kind of get into this frame of mind where you think to yourself, where's God? Why would God let these things happen? Why do bad things happen? Why is there evil in the world? We ask these questions, and for some, it just doesn't make sense. How many know that that's true? Even a good church-going Christian boy or girl can scratch their head sometimes and say, this is just not making sense, God. You don't even have to have a big political issue or a big world issue. Just in your own life, you can say, God, this doesn't make sense. Why is this happening? Why me? I'm such a good person. We'll deal with that in weeks to come. So I'm starting a new series. I'm breaking off from the series we were doing. We didn't finish the book of Acts and the after party, so you're going to have to do that on your own. You're going to have to read the Bible on your own. And I'm starting a brand new series God laid on my heart, and that's called Make It Make Sense. Can we all say that out loud together? Make it make sense. Make this make sense to me. Help me to understand it, not from my own feelings, not from my own agenda, but help me to understand it in the context of God's word, because that's always where we want to come back to. What does God's word have to say? And we're going to ask and answer, to the best of our ability, some hard questions. And I think that this is a perfect place to do it. Okay? Now, in all these subject disclaimer, we're not going to be able to exhaust everything about any one particular subject, but we're definitely going to get up to our knees into the water, okay? And we're gonna start saying, okay, I've got some good groundwork laid here, and we're going to build on that. And the question we're going to ask and answer today is this: if God is so good, why is there evil? Why is there evil? How many have heard that question before? I think we've all heard it in some way or another, and we've said, okay, hey, if God is so good, why is there evil? Why is there so much pain and suffering? Why do people do such bad things? Why are there disasters and catastrophes that happen? Why does God let things like 9/11 happen if he's so good, if he's so powerful? And we ask these questions, and maybe you're facing that situation today in your own life. We would say something like this: why would God allow this to happen when he's supposed to be supremely good and all-powerful? Can he just make it go away? Can he just make evil go away? Can he just make pain go away? Can he just make suffering go away? I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to answer that at the end of the message, so you have to stay awake the entire time. It's coming. Some believe that evil, bad things, wickedness, hurt, and pain are a perfect reason to believe that God doesn't exist. That's their reason. There's too much pain in the world. In fact, there was a conversation with a pastor, an atheist, once, and the atheist said, I don't believe in God. There's too much evil in the world. There's too much pain, too much suffering. If God was real, if God was good, then he wouldn't let all this stuff happen. So therefore, God doesn't exist. And the pastor turned to him and said, okay, let's take God out of the equation. Let's say that God doesn't exist. He doesn't exist at all. Is there still evil? The atheist said, yes. Is there still pain? Is there still suffering? Is there still catastrophes that happen? He says, yes. Okay, then removing God from the equation doesn't solve the problem of pain and suffering. What it does is, when we pull God out of the equation, what we're doing is we actually remove all hope. We remove all hope. Because the truth is, sin is real, but so is salvation. So is salvation. And that's why we need God. Because we recognize that sin, which is the word we use in Christendom to explain evil, wickedness, pain, suffering, death, decay, all of these things, we sum it up into one word called sin, and we need to deal with that sin, and the way we deal with that sin is salvation, and that's why we need a God who can bring us salvation. We need that in our lives. Evil, I'm going to say something to you that might be a little bit of a shock to some of you, because just because you say, hey, too much evil is going on, God doesn't exist, here's what I say. Evil is proof positive that God is real and he is good. And some of you, that might make you scratch your head a little bit. What do you mean evil proves that God is real? And let me help you understand it this way. And if you were to think about your life, you know, without God, evil would still exist, right? But how do you know what evil is? How do you know what wrong is? Let me break it down in a more simple way. How do you know if a line is crooked? Because you've seen a straight one. How do you know that there's a gloomy day? Because you've seen a sunny day. How do you even know the difference between wrong and right? If there's not a moral standard, if there's not a lawgiver, if there's not someone who has supreme authority, who's to tell us what's wrong or right, and we have a moral compass? If there is no God, we don't have that, and that makes basically all of our feelings are subject to our own feelings, and we determine on our own the right and wrong of the world. And let me tell you, that would be a very dangerous place to live. You can go anywhere in the world, any country in the world, and it is universally accepted that God has put a moral compass in our heart, because you'll know that even if they're not Christians, it's wrong to murder, it's wrong to commit adultery, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to steal. They know this. We know this. Why? Because there's a lawgiver. You see, God is the absolute standard of right and wrong. And as we begin to understand and answer the question, you know, why is there evil if God's so good? First, we have to recognize that there's a standard, that there's actually a lawgiver. And from that, we can come and we can understand through Scripture how to actually come to this acceptance and this understanding of not only what is evil, how to deal with it, and the hope that comes. The Bible says in Isaiah 33, it says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our," everybody say it out loud, "our lawgiver. And the Lord is our king, it is he who will save us." God's our lawgiver. And right and wrong aren't human ideas, they're God's design. And without God, right and wrong lose their meaning, because we wouldn't know what it is. This is why God gave the law to Moses, so that we would understand what's right and wrong. And through that, we recognize how sinful we really are, and how wicked we can be, and how evil we can be, and recognize that we have no hope, but thanks be to God who gives us hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't have God, who sets the standard for morality? This is important for us to start here, because we're going to get into some scriptures here and understand this concept of evil and why it's here. The Bible says in Micah 6:8, it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly," everyone say justly, "and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." These are things that God requires. This is why we have a lawgiver. Otherwise, we would not even know what evil is. So let's recognize that in the onset. The reason we know what evil is, what wickedness is, what sin is, what wrong is because God has, as he put it in our hearts, and he has revealed it to us through his word. And from that foundation stone, we can build an understanding of why there's evil in the world. And we can begin to know and understand the heart of God, and understand that what he's doing has a good purpose. You might say, hey, but why create a world with evil in the first place? Why couldn't God just make everything perfect with no sin? and no problems, right? You ever heard that question? Why can't he just, he's so big and powerful, he could just make us all without sin. Well, he did. He did. And to understand the answer to this question, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of Genesis, and we're going to read some of the passages there, and we're going to learn from it. You ready? Here we go. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I want you just to note right off that God feels no need to prove to you that he exists. It is just assumed that God was there. Verse 1, "I'm God," period. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Stop right there. You are created in the image of a loving, caring God who has a purpose for you. And he created you a man or a woman in his own image. Notice there's two genders here. And God says to you, "I created you exactly like I wanted you to be." No need to change God's design. So whatever's going on in your heart, whatever might be going on in your mind, whatever thing has been whispering in your ear, you are made in God's image exactly how God wants you, and he loves you just like that. Goes on and says, "Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the garden, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for the food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord took man and put him, commanded him, 'You are free to eat from the tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" If God's so good, why is there evil? Sin is real, but so is salvation. And here we have an answer to our question from this passage in Genesis chapter 1 and some parts of chapter 2 and chapter 3 is this. God created a world where we would have the loving freedom to choose. To choose. Everyone say, "The choice is mine." The choice is yours. This is free will. That's what we read here. And this was loving. See, God's giving Adam and Eve a choice. He says, "Listen, here, I'm going to give you a choice. There's two trees in the garden that I want you to pay special attention to. One gives life, and one brings death. One you can have freely. You can eat freely from life, from now, and all eternity. But there's one, I'm just letting you know, don't eat from it. Because it brings death." And God gave Adam and Eve this loving ability to choose him. Because the truth is, for love to be love, it must be freely given. It must be freely given. For instance, if you were to stand my lovely wife Laura next to me, and you were to put my grandkids on the other side of the sanctuary, and you were to, you know, unleash their cages, and they were to run to one of us, they would run to her. Okay? Because they all love Adela. That's her. They love her. They love me sometimes. Now, sometimes when I want some love and affection from them, I will pick them up and squirming, and they'll be like, I'm like, love me too, love me like you love your grandmother. And like, and then they cry, and then I put them down, and then they go to her. And it's hurtful. Now, the truth is sometimes they do come to me and they love me too, but not to put them all in a bad place. But God never forces you to love him, because that's not love. God loved Adam and Eve so much that he put them in the garden with the choice, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You and I face that same choice today. We face the choice of Jesus or denying him, God or denying him. And Adam and Eve had this choice. He said, listen, you can live in this garden for all eternity. You can have a relationship with me. You'll have all of your needs met. I've got all this food for you on the trees. It's going to be great. You've got tasks I want you to do. You're going to enjoy doing them. You know, there's going to be no texting. There's no emails. There's no gossip. You're never going to get fat. There's no diet scheme. You don't have to pay a bill. You don't, right? You don't even have to go to church on Sunday. You just be with me in the garden. I want you to choose life. But I have to tell you that over here, there's another tree. It's a tree of knowledge and good and evil. I love you so much, but I want you to choose me. But I want you to know that there's that choice there. But if you choose it, you will die. Not only physically, because I created you perfect to live for eternity, but you will die spiritually, and death will come into the world. What a powerful choice. You make that choice every day. Which tree are you eating from? Unfortunately, Adam and Eve made a bad call. And they went over and they ate from the tree in the garden. And they broke God's law. And evil exists because man has turned away from God's law, from God's commands, from God's ways. And Adam and Eve turned away in disobedience from God's ways, and they ate from the tree. The serpent came down and said, hey, did God really say that you shouldn't eat from there? Did he really? I mean, we should really think this through. Maybe we need to have a discovery panel, really think, does God write? I mean, does he really know? And so Eve was deceived, and they ate the fruit, and she gave to her husband, and they ate the fruit, and then watch what happened as Satan was talking to Eve. Genesis 3:4 says, you will not certainly die, he says to her. For God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. You're going to be a God in and of yourself, into yourself. You'll be your own God and you'll know good and evil. You won't even need God anymore because you can be your own God. You can be the one who makes all the decisions. You can be the one who makes the standard. And you don't. Once you eat it, you're going to be great. When the woman saw that the fruit tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them were both open, and they realized they were naked. You know what that means? They realized they were naked, and they were ashamed of their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together. They tried to cover their own sin and made coverings for themselves. They tried to cover their own shame, which we can't cover our own shame and sin, can we? We need the blood of Jesus for that. We need the blood of Jesus for that. And so they actually broke God's law, and this is the original sin. It's interesting when you read the book of Genesis, because not only was that the very first sin, rebellion against God and God's command, and God's law came to bring justice and actually judge them because of that, but the very next sin was so evil, it was murder. See how fast we fall into wickedness and evil? You see, free will opens the door to both good and evil choices. Otherwise, we would just be robots being forced to do something without having the choice to actually say, God, I choose today to serve you and love you and follow you. I choose today the tree of life. I choose your way. Because God's just judgment on the earth, he judged all wickedness. And therefore, we are all sinners. And the Bible says in Romans 5:12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death. Everyone say death. Death. Understand the consequences of sin. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And now we all struggle with this battle within us, this propensity and desire to sin and violate God's law, to do evil and wicked things, because we are sinners by nature. Because Adam and Eve sinned, and therefore all became sinners through that line. And now we deal with moral evil things like lying and murder and adultery and pride and greed. We deal with natural evil, which is suffering in creation, disease and sickness and natural disasters, all these things that are part of a fallen and broken world. Romans 8 says this, against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse on sin. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. I want to be free from this curse of evil, of sin and death and decay. That's the cry of every person's heart. I want to be free from the pain of the evil and wickedness that happens in the world. Why? Because God didn't make us that way. Sin has corrupted it because we chose darkness over light. I know that's heavy. I know that's a lot. I know that that can be like, oh my gosh. And if we were to leave it right here, that would be extremely depressing. Yeah. So let's pray and close. Lord, I pray somehow this week you would give them hope. But the good news is that God didn't just leave us. He didn't say, fine, choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm out of here. Peace out. You guys are on your own. Have fun with death and decay and evil and wickedness. Have fun with all that stuff. No, he didn't do that. Because the truth is, God is bringing evil to a righteous end through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is so why the world needs God. This is why the world needs to know about Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus came. You can say like an atheist, no, God doesn't exist. You can say like an agnostic, we don't know, but if he was good, he's bad, he's left us, he's abandoned us, but where is your hope? You can't answer the question of hope that way. Only Jesus can answer the question of hope. So what do we do in this world where so many people, like Adam and Eve, choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, choose to violate and abandon God's law? We introduce them to Jesus, who actually can break the curse from their life and give them hope for eternity. And that's what we do. And that's what Jesus came to do. John, 1 John 3 says, the reason the Son of God, that's Jesus, appeared was to destroy the devil's work, to utterly and completely destroy it. And by his death on the cross, by his resurrection from the grave, he defeated sin and death. He defeated the chains that bind us so that we might have hope in him. Our sins would be forgiven. We'd have a reason for living, and we'd have a hope in heaven. And these are the things that God comes to tell us as we face things that are evil in this world. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, Jesus, so that by his death he might break the power. Everyone say break. He might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. He doesn't have to have a stronghold on your life anymore. You don't have to obey his little whisperings in your ear anymore. You don't have to do what he tells you to do anymore. When you come to Jesus, those chains are broken forever, and you're no longer in bondage to him. You're a servant of the Most High. And that's what it means to be a Christian. You see, evil can't separate you from God's love in Christ. It can't. It's not strong enough. It doesn't have the power. You can choose that, but it can't do it in and of itself. And the Bible says, and maybe some of you need to hear this verse today in Romans chapter 8, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, neither our life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is there evil in the world when God is so good? Because God gives us a choice. He gives us an opportunity, even today, to choose life, to choose the tree of life. People do evil things because sin is evil. Wickedness is evil. That's why we need a righteous Savior. Which tree are you eating from? I ask you today to choose the tree of life. Jesus is that tree of life. You see, God was so good, He gave Adam and Eve a choice. And even though they violated His command, they left the garden of perfection to their own ways. And God saw how destitute we were spiritually in our minds, in our hearts, and how terrible we were at handling our own lives because sin had corrupted us so much and held us captive so much that our own dumb inclinations to do wickedness because sin had corrupted our heart, He saw how much we needed it. And He said, you know what? Even though you abandoned me in the garden, I will not abandon you. So I'm sending my tree of life, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, to pay for the sin you cannot pay for, to rise from the dead so that you can have a life you could never create for yourself, because I'm not done with you. That's what God says. I'm not done with you, and I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's what God does, even in the face of evil. So this is the hope we have. This is the hope we live as Christians, if you are one today. And man, what a hope it is.